Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow before you, Lord, at this time. We thank you, Lord. We are a people who are called forth to receive and realize the processes of your salvation, Father. That we are called to give evidence to all that you have manifested to us in your Son, Father. And as we have heard of the sin offering, Father, for unintentional sin, Father, we look forward today, O Lord, to understand the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit through this sin offering, Father. We all ask you to open our hearts to the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how it is he works in us, Father. So we also ask you to unveil us to the reality of the Spirit of Christ, Father. That Spirit, O Lord, that was evidenced in the Spirit of holiness, Father, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That Spirit of holiness that is meant to clothe us and make us a holy people unto you, Father. That Spirit of Christ, Father, that is, O Lord, the blueprint for a new creation, Father. A blueprint, O God, for a new people who will truly learn how to work and function and do all things in the right spirit, Father. The Spirit of the Son of Man. And so we bless you and thank you for all that you have given us, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue to unveil the processes of salvation, we pray that you will open our hearts to the awesome potentials in each one of our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to open our eyes. We ask you, Lord, to open our ears. We ask you, O God, to unveil our hearts in the understanding of all that you have given us in your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless this time. Bless our hearts. Open our ears, open our eyes, that we will know, understand, and receive and realize the realities, O God, that come to us in revelation knowledge, Father. So let your word be released to us in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word be established in us in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word, O God, be fulfilled in us in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word bring into us the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word unveil to us the testimony of Jesus, that what we receive, let it be of Christ Jesus. Let it be, O God, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that what we receive, it will abide in us, it will grow in us. It will be, O Lord, the living and abiding Word of God unveiled to us in Jesus' name through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let it bring forth in us a new creation, that we will become all that you want us to become, that we will become, O God, a people chosen, a people set apart unto you, Father. So cleanse our hearts that we may receive. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, that there will be no hindrance to our understanding, O Lord. So manifest your word to us, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the sin offering, and last week we left out something. We left out the fact that the sin offering was fired from the altar. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. From verse 8 to verse 10. And he shall remove from it all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys, just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. Praise the Lord. So the inward parts of the animal was fired, was washed, and it was fired on the altar. The inward parts together with the fat that covers it. All right? Today we want to talk about the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We also want to talk about the fat that is mentioned here. All right? In verse 17 of chapter 3, verse 16 of chapter 3 in Leviticus, the last line reads, all fat is the Lord's. All fat is the Lord's. Okay, let's talk about that fat first. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Let me read first from the New American Standard. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Now let's look at this verse as it's translated in the New King James Version. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And this is what it reads. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Praise the Lord. So the fatness, which is in the original Hebrew, has been translated as anointing. All right? So this is the anointing. Right? The anointing. All right. What is the anointing that Jesus Christ released from the cross? That anointing is described in several verses. I'm not going to read all the verses, but let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. From verse 2. Let's read from verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Here it describes the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, in his spirit will be manifested the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So Jesus Christ came as the Son of Man. He walked on the earth. He grew up just like we would grow up. And he learned many things. And in that process, his spirit was perfected within him. Now let's turn to John chapter 19. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So his spirit was put to test through his entire life and ministry. It was developed through his entire life and ministry. It was put to test through the cross. And ultimately he surrenders his spirit to God the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. We find in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Let's read from verse 44 to verse 46 in the book of Luke chapter 23. And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Amen. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because his spirit was the spirit of holiness. And ultimately, that spirit is what we need to receive and realize. So when God speaks the word to us, he speaks the word to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. That's what we call the Rhema word. And we've done teaching on that. Now the purpose of the Rhema word is to unveil the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he came and he lived a life that is a blueprint of a new kind of life. A life lived in the reality of God. A life lived before God. A life lived for the glory of God. A life lived entirely in obedience to God. A life lived in holiness unto God. A life that is an expression of a pure faith and a pure love. A life that is an expression of all that he received and realized from God. And he manifested it for us through the cross. That life that was put to the test and then lifted in resurrection power. That life that is being unveiled to us today in resurrection power. So it says that the life of Jesus was invested with resurrection power. And that resurrection power has a blueprint to it. And that blueprint is unveiled to us at the highest level as the spirit of holiness. So the spirit of holiness is what will make us a holy people unto God. All right? That spirit of holiness is what God calls all fat belongs to the Lord. It is the fatness of the anointing. Of the spirit of Jesus with which God wants to clothe us. That spirit of Christ enables us to do what we cannot do. Christ means the anointed one. And his spirit is what enables us to ultimately become a holy people because God is looking for a holy people. Amen. Just to refresh our memories, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Here Jesus Christ tells us, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So how do we become a people who are perfect? Through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is worked into us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, only the Holy Spirit can work the Spirit of Christ into our being. That's why in the sin offering, the fat together with the inward parts of the animal was put on the altar and then fired. Amen? That fire represents the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the fat that belongs to God is of the Spirit of Christ. Are you listening? It is of his Spirit. Jesus Christ came to manifest the right spirit so that we will do all things right. It also tells us something. If we don't receive of the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot do anything right. That's why our righteousness is filthy rags. Now why do we say that? Because God is looking at perfection. God is not just looking for you and I to be relative to each other good guys. So God is telling us through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. Remember when we talked about the sin offering, we said that the blood was sprinkled 7 times before the veil. The veil to the holy place. Amen. 7 represents perfection in the Bible. 7 also represents the process of being perfected. And this is what we must understand. What are we going to be perfected in? We are going to be perfected in and with and by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is going to be perfected within us. And when the Spirit of Christ is perfected within us, it becomes the fat of the anointing that clothes our inward parts. And so God says, all fat belongs to me. Because I sent my Son. And I manifested this through his life and his sacrifice. And it belongs to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at another verse. James chapter 4, verse 5. James chapter 4, verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose. He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. The spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Praise the Lord. This spirit which he jealously desires is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Holy Spirit indwells us. But the reason why I say this is because of another verse. John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the rhema of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. And he gives the Spirit without measure. Now this Spirit without measure is his Spirit. Because it comes through the rhema word. Remember John 6:63? It is the Spirit who gives life. That's the Holy Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Now that word Spirit, that is part of the rhema word. That word Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's his Spirit. And that Spirit is what becomes the fatness that clothes our inward parts, enables us to become what we would otherwise never be able to do and become. Are you listening? And the communication of that Spirit is by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through the Rhema Word of God. Are you listening? Amen. Praise the Lord. I will also put you in remembrance with Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. That Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Amen. So in his spirit and in his life there is invested the power. We just read that in Romans as well. Correct? Amen. That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, declared to be the Son of God with power. Right? In the spirit of holiness. Alright? So that spirit is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blueprint for a new creation. Amen? And that is the fat. That's why God says the fat is mine. Alright? Now why is he jealous for that fat? That is the spirit of Christ. Let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 14. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Why is God jealous for the Spirit of Christ? Because that's the only way in which you can come alive to God. Only through the Spirit of God, Christ, can you come alive to God's name. Are you with me? Only through the Spirit of Christ can the reality of God the Father be manifested to you. Amen? It is the Son who reveals the Father. That is not an intellectual reality. It's a spiritual reality. It is manifested in the Spirit of Christ. It is a spiritual communication. Are you with me? Pneuma to pneuma. Right? Spirit to spirit. Right? When you are born again, you are given a new spirit. And you have a spirit man that is alive to God. God increases that spirit man with the Spirit of Christ. Can you see that? And that Spirit of Christ enables you to commune with God. So you are in three parts, just like the temple of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses was in three parts. Your spirit is designed to be in consonance with the Holy of Holies. Right? Your soul with the holy place. And your body is the outer place, outer court. Right? One day we will have a brand new body. Amen? And that body will manifest, right, in the fullness of Jesus Christ. A new body, conformed truly to Christ. But this body is passing away. But in our soul and in our spirit, God is unfolding a great and mighty work. Amen. He is perfecting us so that we will stand before God. And what we must understand, it is our spirit that will stand before God. It is our spirit that will ascend into the mount of the Lord. Just like Elijah said when he stood before Ahab, I stand before God and by the words of my mouth it will not rain. Physically he was standing before Ahab, but spiritually he was standing before God. So that spiritual reality was open to Elijah for a specific time and a specific purpose. But through the Spirit of Christ, you and I are open to the living God 24 hours of the day in our waking and our sleeping, simply because our spirit man is designed to receive and realize the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And His Spirit clothes our inward parts, clothes our every thought, our character, our nature, our intents, our attitudes. Right? And we are enabled to receive and realize and live a brand new life. So the key is focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We cannot be good in ourselves. That's why Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Amen. Christ being formed in you is the fatness of both the sin offering and the peace offering. Are you with me? The fatness that breaks the yoke of sin, breaks every stronghold of sin in our lives. In the peace offering, the fatness then talks about intimacy with God. Are you with me? Right? So in the peace offering, God then talks about communion. A people who come to know Him, a people who are in intimacy with Him. But if the sin offering is not fulfilled, the peace offering is not possible. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So if you look at the Jewish sacrifices, you will find that it starts with a sin offering. And the highest level of the offering that is ultimately offered on the day of the Feast of the Pentecost, it was a compulsory offering, was called the peace offering. Amen. The burnt offering is the offering of consecration. The peace offering, which was entirely an offering of the inward parts of the animal, was an offering of intimacy. Are you with me? And in that peace offering, God declares, all fat belongs to the Lord. Amen. So it is through Christ Jesus that we commune with God. Amen. So now let's look at Matthew chapter 11 verse 11 again. Truly, truly, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Amen. So God is opening us to the fulfillment of the law. And the fulfillment of the law opens us to the heavenly places. So John was righteous under the law. But in Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, God is raising us up to spiritual heights. Alright? To spiritual heights. And that word spiritual is described through the Spirit of Christ. You must understand that. Spiritual is not stargazing into the spirit world. Hello. That is the wrong kind of spiritual experience. Spiritual in God is being alive in the Spirit of Christ to the Holy Spirit. And being led by the Holy Spirit through the Spirit of Christ to do what is right before God. Are you listening? Amen. Spiritual experiences in our lives are not supposed to be things we work out of our own zeal, using our spirit man to look at things that we are curious about. In the Bible, everything spiritual is to be unveiled through the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. He leads, we don't lead Him. It's very important to understand that. Because in the guise of having spiritual experiences, Many people have opened the wrong kinds of doors. So we need to understand it is the Holy Spirit who leads us. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't show us something, you don't get curious and start trying to find out something using your own spirit. Very dangerous. All right? A lot of prayer warriors do that, by the way. That's why they suddenly say, the devil is chasing me. Why? You open the door. Why? Curiosity kills the cat. Right? Why? Because you're curious. Right? It's like when we gossip, right? We want to know all the juicy details. So when we get spiritual too, we want to get into the juicy details. Not understanding, if God doesn't choose to tell you any of the details, He has got very good reason. Right? He doesn't want to give you juicy details. He wants to give you ministry details. Correct? And so you and I must function with the right spirit. You and I must function in the spirit of Christ. And right off the bat, God is showing us the picture through the sin offering. That if you're not going to get into sin, unintentional sin, the sin we commit by nature. Why do we love gossip? Because it comes to us by nature. Right? And so God shows us a picture that your inward parts with the fat surrounding it is meant only for God. It is meant only for function in the fire of the Holy Spirit. It is not meant for curiosity. It is not meant for spiritual experiences that give you a high. It is meant to unveil you responsibly in heavenly places according to God's chosen purposes in your life. Praise the Lord. Okay. So it's very important that we understand that this word spiritual, this word pneuma, for a Christian, this word pneuma is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not tied to the English dictionary or to the Greek dictionary or whatever it is. It is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we understand that we are meant to function entirely in the Spirit of Christ by the Holy Spirit, we will grow and grow and grow. All right? It's very important for us to understand that. It's also very important for us to understand it is the Holy Spirit who unveils the Spirit of Christ. I didn't say that. The Lord Jesus said that. Before we do that, let me turn to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 1. So that we understand what we are saying here. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? In Christ. So those spiritual blessings are defined in Christ. All right? It's very important. The most important word there in that whole sentence about God blessing us with every spiritual blessings is that word in Christ. Because we love to be blessed, but we don't understand that the blessing is contingent on us being in Christ. You must be in the right spirit. Otherwise, your spiritual blessings will become airy-fairy. And it will become something that Lucifer discovered for himself. He discovered the wrong spirit. He developed the wrong spirit. Ultimately, he corrupted the spirits of so many angels. And in the end, he was thrown out. All right? So we are being raised to those heavenly places. And you have to have those heavenly places can only be opened to you in the right spirit. And the right spirit is the spirit of Christ. And so God says, I'm jealous for that spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that spirit is communicated to you in revelation knowledge through the Rhema word. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We are chosen in Christ. So in the sin offering, God is opening us to his perfect will. God is opening us so that we will be established in Christ Jesus. We really must understand that. Because the fulfillment of the sin offering is in Christ Jesus. It is in His sacrifice. It is not because you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It is grace upon grace. You are chosen only in Christ Jesus. Leave out Christ Jesus and you no longer are chosen. Right? So he says here, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Correct? So what does he do in order to make us holy and blameless? He manifests the Spirit of Christ within us as a fatness that clothes our inward parts. All right. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. You see how many times he goes back and he makes the reference to Jesus Christ. Amen. Without Jesus, there is no adoption. Right? In Romans, it speaks of the Spirit of adoption. That Spirit of adoption is the Spirit of Christ. Alright, you want to cross-reference there? Just put your finger in Ephesians 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. That spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Amen. That's why Jesus Christ is called the Son, because he came to establish sonship as the Son of Man. And then he raised that sonship through his resurrection to sonship of God. Amen. And you need to understand that blueprint is in his Spirit. You cannot become a son unto God except in and by and through the Spirit of Christ. Right? Every thought, every intent, every desire, every attitude, every word, every action in your life has to be clothed with the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of adoption. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. So this Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. It is the means and the basis in which God fulfills all things. Because prophecy means fulfillment. That which is to be fulfilled. All things are to be fulfilled through the testimony of Jesus. Because in the testimony of Jesus, God is communicating his word in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And as the word of God is explained into you in the spirit and life of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ becomes a fatness that clothes you. Praise the Lord. You need to understand that in that clothing with the Spirit of Christ, you are meant to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Now the heavenly places open to you through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Where do we find that? We find that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 9 first. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And as the depths of God are open to us, we unveil in spiritual planes, in heavenly places. All right? So it says, verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Amen? Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual, combining spirit with spirit. Now, whose spirit is he talking about? That is the Spirit of Christ. So the reality of the depths of God are opened to us by the Holy Spirit, but those realities are described to us in the Spirit of Christ. Because Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of the power on high, at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. And everything has been put in the Father's will in subjection under His feet. Amen. So we are by the Holy Spirit receiving and realizing that which Jesus Christ has perfected in Himself. And as we receive more and more of His Spirit, we rise higher and higher into the Mount of the Lord. We occupy positions in heavenly places. We become princes of the kingdom of God. We become sons unto God. We become priests who stand in heavenly places. We become the chosen people that God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you listening? All right. So let's go back to Ephesians 1 and let's complete that. Verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. We read in Romans that is through the Spirit of adoption. And that Spirit of adoption is defined in Christ Jesus. Amen. According to the kind intention of His will, which means to tell you that if you are prepared to seek Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, you will discover that God's will is kind. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Jesus must become your Beloved. Amen. We just read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, all that has not entered the heart of man, all that God has for those who love Him. So Jesus Christ is the Beloved. How do we come to love God? Through the Beloved. If Jesus becomes your Beloved, you will love God. If Jesus does not become your Beloved, you will never love God. You're just bluffing yourself. So remember the teaching on the heart of flesh. That heart of flesh is of the substance of the Master's fullness. It is meant to make Him your Beloved. Amen. And that heart is a pure heart. That heart is a clean heart. That heart will see God. That heart will rise into the Mount of the Lord. That heart will abide in the Mount of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the Scriptures, right? Being on the Mount of the Lord is part of the Psalms. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. David asked, "Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord?" He talks about a clean heart there. And then in Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2, he says that you can actually abide in the hill of the Lord, in the tent of the Lord. And he talks again about a heart that is clean and pure. Amen. How do we get such a heart? That heart is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that heart grows as He becomes the Beloved. Amen. Listening? All right, now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. What happens when you come to know the love of God, love of Jesus? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 onwards. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So when you come alive to the knowledge of the love of Jesus, when He becomes the Beloved of your heart, you are open to the fullness of God. Isn't that fascinating? Amen. And all of this process to achieve all this rises out of the sin offering. So dealing with sin is so very important. So dealing with the sin of your own nature is so very important. We cannot be just sinful people. We have to rise above that by putting on Christ. We have to rise above that by putting on Christ. What does it mean, putting on Christ? Putting on His Spirit. Being clothed with His Spirit. Being enabled by His Spirit to do things that we would never do otherwise. To be enabled by His Spirit so that we will desire things that we didn't want to do before. We receive new desires. We receive a new thought process. We receive a new nature. We receive a new character. We receive a whole new thinking process, a whole new personality. Right? That's why God deals with our hurts. Why does He deal with it? Because you cannot live there with your hurts crippled. You cannot be lame. You cannot be blind. You cannot be a leper in the kingdom of God. You have to be healed and you have to be released so that you will rise to be a blessing. Hello. So it is so important for us to understand that this whole process of us being perfected is with God dealing with our unintentional sins. The sins that are there that we don't even want to look at. They are there by our character and nature. God wants to deal with our guilt. He has to deal with our guilt. Now in the guilt offering in the Jewish sacrifices, 1/5 was added to the offering. 1/5 represents a measure of grace because 5 is the number of grace. 1/5 is the measure of grace. So what is God saying? Get out of all of your guilt by receiving a measure of my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Are you with me? Why? Because God doesn't want you to learn how to live in your own strength. He wants you to learn how to live by His grace. Because in His grace there is a resurrection power that will enable you to do things at a far higher plane than you could ever do in and of yourself. That's why he tells Paul there as well, my power is perfected in your weakness, not in your strength. It is in your weakness. It is when you acknowledge the fact that you are weak that you have begun the process of becoming strong in God. And that strength, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ means the anointed one. You are strengthened in His Spirit. It is growing in that fatness. Amen? So always understand this. It is not how many hours you pray. It is how you pray. In whose spirit are you praying? Are you praying in just your own strength? Or are you praying by the Spirit of Christ? If you are praying by the Spirit of Christ, you are strong because that strength will grow and grow and grow and grow. If you are functioning in your strength, that strength will come up to a certain point and that's all it can ever be. And one day along the line, you will find that it will let you down. And when it lets you down, you will come crashing down and then you will ask questions like, where is God? So we need to understand everything is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as you go through the Jewish offerings, you realize that everything is in Christ Jesus. And everything comes out of His sacrifice. If you don't understand His sacrifice, you have nothing to do with Him. If you are not saved by Him, you cannot be what God wants you to be. So every aspect of godliness is you being saved. Every aspect of godliness arises out of salvation. And in salvation you are receiving and realizing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember the fragrance that we talked about last week. The fragrance that comes out of the altar of incense. So the blood is shed, you walk into the holy place, the tent of meeting. In the tent of meeting, what is God interested in manifesting? That fragrance. And what is that fragrance? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that fragrance is what God is concerned with. Now to bring that fragrance out, you have to recognize the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. All of the Jewish sacrifices are based on the fullness of Jesus Christ being manifested to you in the fire of the Holy Spirit. So it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that all that God gave you in Christ Jesus will come alive to you. You must be a spirit-led people. And you have to make that call within yourself. Am I moving with my intellect or is the Holy Spirit leading me? You have to be able to tell the difference. You cannot just religiously say, because I've got doctrinal accuracy, that I know God. If you know God, you will walk on water, brother. Let's put it all in the right perspective, right? So can you walk on water? If you can't walk on water, you really don't know who the Holy Spirit is. All right? When I say walk on water, I don't mean walk literally on water. I mean live your life as if you are walking on water. Bringing forth your ministry as if you are walking on water. Drawing from God all the time for everything. Hello? You see, God is the key for this sacrifice. That's why when this sacrifice was announced, God announced His name in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14 as Yahweh Yireh. I am who I am. I am your provider. On the mount of the Lord it will be seen. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. How will it be provided? Through sacrifice. You need to understand this. Now to rise into the mount of the Lord, you need the Holy Spirit. So this sacrifice that unveils you in the mount of the Lord is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. You need to know and understand this because the Lord Jesus said so. Alright, let's look at the verses that talk about this. John chapter 16, or rather John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 16. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you for how long? Forever. Amen. That He will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. So what does it tell you? You must behold the Holy Spirit and you must know the Holy Spirit. He is not there doctrinally. He is a living person. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. That includes the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you will behold Him and you will know Him. I didn't say it. The Lord Jesus is saying this. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Two realities of the Holy Spirit. He will be with you and He will be in you. Praise the Lord. So when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is with you. When you are spirit baptized, He infills you. Two different realities of the Holy Spirit. Every born again Christian is alive to God by the Spirit. But in order to function by the Spirit, in order to function in God by the Spirit, you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you find two different parts of the church today. One part that is alive to God. If all God wanted you to do was to just be alive to Him, and that's a decision you have to make for yourself, then it's fine, you just be born again. If you want to really function by the Holy Spirit, if you really want to do all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, then you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because intimacy with the Holy Spirit has to be developed from your inward parts. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the sin offering, the inward parts were manifested in fire. Correct? In the burnt offering, the whole animal is manifested in fire. In the meal offering, in the guilt offering, the inward parts of the animal are manifested in fire. Because the guilt offering draws its significance from the sin offering. In the meal offering, the cakes, half the cakes were put on the altar and fired. The other half was given to be shared by the priesthood. Again, what was put on the altar represents that which has to be unveiled by the Spirit. In the peace offering, the entire inward parts of the animal were washed. Together with the fat, they were put on the altar and fired. So everything was fired, which means to say that the total sacrifice of Jesus Christ was manifested by the Spirit. Hello, the reality of that sacrifice can only be brought to you by the Spirit, guys. Let's go to John 16. John 16, verse 13. And when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Now, who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth, correct? He said, I am the truth. And what is he saying? It is the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all the truth. So all the truth can only be opened to you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? All right. Now let's look at verse 14. He says, He shall glorify me. So what is the recognition of you being led by the Holy Spirit? You will have a deep desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And that desire will keep growing. And the reason why you will glorify Him is very simple. For He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Amen. Everything that is of Jesus has to be disclosed to you by the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. So what is it that comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine. Amen. All things that the Father has are mine. All things that the Father has come through me, and they are unveiled to you by the Holy Spirit. Correct? All right. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you, make it alive to you, make you know it, make you function in it, make you realize it. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, says the Lord your God. I have blessed you in Christ Jesus. I have blessed you through His Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who will take His Spirit and work His Spirit into you in perfection. You see, when you are born again, the seed of perfection, the seed of Christ was planted inside of you. Amen. And every change that you have realized in Christ Jesus is some measure of perfection manifested in you. That's why we can experience the change. And it's genuine change. It's not make-believe. Praise the Lord. So the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is extremely important to us. Amen. In the Jewish calendar, Jesus Christ was raised on the day of the first fruits. I want you to listen to the title of the feast. He was raised on the day of the first fruits. First fruits of a new beginning in God. 50 days later, on the feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. So Jesus Christ was raised in resurrection power. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out. In those 50 days, God is showing you a cycle. He's showing you a cycle, and He's telling you that 50 represents grace completed. 5 is the number of grace, 10 is the number of completion. So in order to be completed in grace, you need resurrection power in the Spirit of Christ. And it has to be brought into your life through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that in between period of 7 Sabbath rests was called the Feast of the Weeks. 7 represents what? Perfection. 7 represents the process of being perfected. So from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the completion through the unveiling of the Holy Spirit, there is a working of the perfection of God into your being through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So you need to understand this. So when the Holy Spirit was poured out, God showed us something. Showed us very categorically the power that comes in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And what is the Holy Spirit essentially working into you? He's working into you the Spirit and life of Jesus. He's working into you the fullness of Jesus Christ. He's taking the faith of Jesus Christ and He's working it into your thinking, into your character, in your nature. So you will be manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. He's taking the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taking the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's working it inside of you so that you will be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is not just operating gifts. Don't get me wrong, those gifts are necessary. But we must understand that those gifts are a reflection of everything that Jesus did in His ministry. Those gifts don't exist in a vacuum. When you operate a gift, you are operating what Jesus did in His ministry. Because every gift that we talk about, He actually manifested in His life and His ministry. So the miracles are meant to be a testimony of Jesus. The gifts are meant to be a testimony of Jesus. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant to be a testimony of the nature of Jesus Christ. So you see, when the Holy Spirit works in you, everything is defined in Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as walking by the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ. And everything that the Holy Spirit works into you comes out of the sacrifice of the cross. Hello. The greatest miracle of them all was for Him to rise from the dead. And He was raised from the dead by whom? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Father through the Spirit. So it says here in Romans chapter 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Hello. The Father raised Jesus through the Spirit of God. Amen. So it says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Amen? That's powerful, isn't it? So we need to understand this. The reality of God comes to us by the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The reality of Jesus growing in an intimacy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean talking about Jesus Christ. I mean living Jesus Christ. I mean functioning in Jesus' name. That comes to you only by the Holy Spirit. Everybody can read the Bible and talk about Jesus. But we are not talking about Jesus. We are talking about living the Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about living in His name. We are talking about living in His Spirit and His life. We are talking about living in His faith and His love. We are talking about living in His character and His nature and His personality. We are talking about living in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that can come to you only by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So this reality of Jesus Christ is called a mystery. Right? It is called a mystery. The mystery of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3, Paul writes, by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Now what is this word that is called the mystery? Verse 4. And by referring to this, that is referring to this
mystery. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Why Christ? Why didn't he put Jesus there? Because the mystery is open through the Spirit of Christ. Can you catch that? Can you catch that? The mystery is open through the Spirit of Christ. That's why he's saying the mystery of Christ. All right? How important is this mystery? Verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Why of Christ? Why not of Jesus? Because the riches have to be defined in the right spirit, otherwise you cannot receive it. It is not that he is trying to belittle the name of Jesus. He's saying, if you want to work, if you want to understand what God has given you in the name of Jesus, you better come alive to his spirit. Amen? And it is in his spirit that the unfathomable riches of God are found. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. The mystery of Christ has an administration. Amazing. Right? That means they're supposed to be functioning through us. That administration is to be unveiled in the body of Christ. Why body of Christ? Why not body of Jesus? You see, in the Bible, God uses very important terms. There is a reason why he only uses Christ in certain points and then uses Jesus Christ at other points and then turns it around and says Christ Jesus at other points. All right? The Holy Spirit is not writing nonsense. All right? So we need to understand. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why did he put Christ first and Jesus later? Because through Christ you will come alive to Jesus in the right way. You will see and understand the name of Jesus in the right spirit. And in this reality, you will unveil the person who is meant to be your Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are talking about things that the human intellect cannot understand. Remember those words, the mystery. All right? So now let's talk about praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Where do these mysteries come from? They come out of the mystery. Correct? They come out of the mystery. What is the Holy Spirit supposed to do in unveiling these mysteries? He's supposed to bring into you realities described in the Spirit of Christ. Something we charismatics don't seem to have understood. We think we speak in tongues and go out and do what we want to do. In the guise of operating our so-called gifts, we have done a lot of things that are not right. The gifts are to be operated in the right spirit. The right spirit comes in Christ Jesus. You cannot operate the gifts in a vacuum. You operate the gifts in the name of Jesus Christ. The mysteries of God are unveiled to you through the Spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is God trying to do through that? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. To whom would he teach knowledge? Verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. To whom would he teach knowledge? What is this knowledge about? The knowledge of the mystery. To whom would he interpret the message? Message of what? God shows you a vision. He has got to interpret that vision to you. God gives you a word. He's got to interpret the meaning of that word to your life. God gives you the word of wisdom. He's got to interpret and give you the knowledge to function and express that word of wisdom in the right way. Correct? Hello. You have a gifting. The gifting of the gifts of healing. God has to teach you how to function in those gifts. You cannot just go out and do your own thing. Hello? Why is it that God starts talking about unintentional sin in the sin offering? Because if you don't deal with your unintentional sin by receiving and realizing the right spirit in Christ, you will operate those giftings in your unintentional sin. You will manifest them in your own nature and your character, and you will make a mess of them. Isn't that what has happened? It is not that the gift was bad. It was the people who went out of sync. Why? Because they thought they could operate those gifts in a vacuum. You operate all things in the kingdom of God in one name, the name of Jesus. You operate all things in the kingdom of God to glorify one name, the name of Jesus. And if you are being led by the Holy Spirit, then there will always be a desire in your heart to lift up on high the name of Jesus. That's when you know whether you are moving in error or you're moving in truth. And that knowing is what he is talking about, knowledge. Because in the Bible, knowledge is an intimacy with the living God. It is not knowing something for the sake of knowing it, like the stuff we study in our universities. We know things so that we can do our own thing. That's not how God does it. He says you know things in the kingdom of God so that you will know them and understand them in an intimacy with who I am and all that I am. So that you will apply that knowledge in my holy name. Praise the Lord. In order for all that to take place in us, God says, I have to bring into you a new form of thinking, a new form of acting, a new form of learning, a new form of speaking, a new form of thinking, a new form, a new character, a new nature. And so in the next two lines of that verse, he says, to those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast, what is he saying? That if you want to mature, you cannot just be drinking milk and just be weaned from the breast. You have to go into maturity. And maturity is in this form. For he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line. A little here, a little there. What is God saying? He says, first order. What is order? There is structure to the things that God brings into your life. He doesn't simply do things arbitrarily. Line on line. In the King James Bible, it says precept upon precept. A little here, a little there. God does it in his own style. A little here, a little there. Through different things, God starts building very differently. Hello, through your life experiences, he builds you in so many different ways. In your work life, in your ministry life, in your family life, in bringing up children, in being a husband with a one wife. Right? He's teaching you to do things in a right way. He's teaching you to do things the right way. Amen. Verse 11, indeed he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Now the Jews always think, they even still think, that their language is the best language in the world. So why on earth is a Jew writing that God will speak to him in a foreign tongue and stammering lips? So what does God say? He says, I'm going to manifest knowledge to you in a foreign tongue and stammering lips. I'm going to interpret the message to you through foreign tongues and stammering lips. He who said to them, here is rest and give rest to the weary. Who are the weary? Everybody who is trying to do their thing is weary. Aren't you weary of doing things your own way? Hello. Somewhere along the line inside of you, you have to make a decision that you want to live your life by the Holy Spirit and not by yourself. You have to come to that decision. And you have to make that decision in your own free will. God is saying when you become weary of doing your brilliance, then you will come to understand that you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you discover the Holy Spirit, he says, here is repose. But they would not listen. What is repose? Rest. What is rest? The Sabbath fulfilled. Correct? In the Old Testament, they rested on the seventh day. What does seven represent? Perfection. What does the seven represent? The process of being perfected. How are you going to be perfected? In a rest. So what is he saying here? In a rest. Correct? So in this rest, what is God doing? He's fulfilling the law. Correct? He's bringing the fulfillment of the law inside of you, teaching you how to rest in God instead of trying to be smart. Aren't you tired of being smart? So now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28. Verse 21 rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. Paul writes something here. He says, in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by lips of strangers I will speak to this people. Even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. What mystified me was, why did Paul say it is in the law? What we read, this passage is taking from where? Isaiah. Isaiah is part of the prophets. So why is Paul writing in the law? Simply because in this process you enter into a rest. And that rest is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And the fulfillment of the Sabbath is the fulfillment of the law. All right? Amazing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Now let's look at verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? What is he telling you? To whom would he teach knowledge? We just read that from Isaiah. To whom would he interpret the message? When you prophesy, you manifest the message of God, the word in season. Am I right? To whom would he teach knowledge? And how does God manifest knowledge? Through revelation, knowledge, and teaching. Amen? So you see, the scriptures are perfectly consistent. Right? This is not just Paul writing about something out of his own inspiration. This is Paul writing the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Praise the Lord. Now that's why you need to speak in tongues. Because speaking in tongues is part of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. To realize the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why realize the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because everything that is being talked, this mystery, is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery. When you speak in tongues, you speak in mysteries. Amen. What is the mystery all about? Not just knowing things. It's about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where do we find the answer to that? 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Let's read from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peace is a rest. Peace is the fulfillment of God's law. So grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So how do you come into spiritual growth? Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is unveiled to you through mysteries. Why mysteries? Because they are a supernatural manifestation in revelation knowledge. Amen? The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, so that we may observe the words of this law. Hello, you remember that? Deuteronomy 29:29. Amen? So why are you able to observe the words of the law? Because of the fullness of Jesus Christ being manifested to you. Otherwise, you would never observe it. Moses wrote it, but no one realized that verse. Correct? It had to come to the New Testament so that God would talk about His secret things, the mysteries. Amen? In Mark chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus says, all things secret must come to light, are meant to be revealed. Amen? I'm paraphrasing. But it says, all secrets, all hidden things must be revealed. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the things of God are meant to be revealed. And tongues is the tool, and I want you to understand this, tongues are not an end in themselves. Tongues do not mean that you are spiritually superior to somebody else. Tongues are a tool. Now you can use any tool rightly and wrongly. If you want to use tongues properly, then your focus must be on Christ Jesus. If you want to use tongues wrongly, then leave Jesus and do your own thing, and you will surely find the devil. All right? So you can choose to commune with the heart of your master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can walk the way Lucifer did. All right? The choice is yours. All right? So God gives us good gifts. God gave Lucifer good anointings, perfect anointings. Lucifer used all of those things for wrong things. Why did he do that? Because he did not love God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, right? Things which eye has not seen, which ear has not heard, all that has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? Love Him. So God, in unveiling Jesus Christ to us, is talking about love. He's asking you to receive Jesus so that you can fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the giftings and callings of God on your life will be unveiled perfectly. They will be unveiled in goodness. They will not unveil in crooked ambition. Hello. If something is not established in the name of Jesus, if something is not established in the Spirit of Christ, it will always end up being crooked. It will always end up being crooked. Because our righteousness is filthy rags. Hello. Praise the Lord. So we have talked about two things. We have talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we have talked about how the Holy Spirit ministers to us in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works into us the right spirit. Amen? So that we will come to know Jesus. So the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is centered on revealing and unveiling the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It is not just simply to do signs and wonders. If the signs and wonders do not testify of the name of Jesus, then they are false. Or what use are they? So you made a frog a prince, so what? Does it change the whole world? So a statue drinks milk, so what? Who is changed by that? It's a false miracle. There's no doubt it's a miracle, but it's falsehood. Why is it falsehood? Because it gives no life. It tells no truth. It sets no people free. And so in the same way, if we don't proclaim something in the name of Jesus Christ, we are not proclaiming the truth, we are proclaiming falsehood. And just because we hold a Bible in hand doesn't mean we cannot speak falsehood. So in the name of Jesus is all truth. And all truth in Christ Jesus is revealed by the Spirit of truth, and He is the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And all truth is defined in the right spirit. The spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we have learned something. So you see, in the sin offering, God has started with talking about truth. Amen. So He took the inward parts of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, manifested it by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in the inward parts of Jesus Christ is a perfect faith, in a perfect love, in a perfect character, in a perfect nature, in a perfect thought process. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why we can be saved. Shall we pray? Father, we give You glory and honor, worship and praise. That to unveil Jesus Christ, You have given us the Holy Spirit, Father. And as we receive and realize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He makes us alive to Christ Jesus. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus. He makes us alive by Christ Jesus. And He makes us to live through Christ Jesus, Father. So that we will do all things for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do all things to glorify Jesus Christ, Father, we are pleasing to You. Because it is the fragrance of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Him, that comes before You in the Holy of Holies. It is that incense from the altar that the high priest took to come into the Holy of Holies. And we need to understand, it is the knowledge of Jesus Christ unveiled in us by the Holy Spirit in a living and growing fragrance that enables us and allows us to come into Your presence, to be Your people. And so we bless You and thank You for Your word that You have revealed to us today. Bless us by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Bless us, O God, with the Spirit of Christ. Bless us, O God, so that we will always belong to You, Father. We thank You for being jealous. For we know, Lord, You're jealous for us too, Father. Because in the book of Zechariah it is said, You are very jealous for Zion, Father. We want to bless You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to show you that verse, Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah, second last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. God is jealous for His name. Verse 14 says, "So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, 'Proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion.'" Praise the Lord. Hello. So who is this Jerusalem? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 9 and 10. "And one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." So why is God exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. Hello. Because Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Amen.